Fantastic, fantastic. I could tell so many embarrassing stories, but I'm not going to tell any of them. We're just really excited to have Gerard and Jeannie share with us. There was a book that I once read years ago, and all I remember about it was the title of the book. It was by a guy called Bill Hymer, and the book was called Don't Waste Your Sorrows. Don't Waste Your Sorrows. And Gerard and Jeannie have suffered some blows in their lives, and it's been an encouragement to me that by God's grace they've managed to turn things around and help others through the things that they've been through. And they're going to share with us in a way that I'm sure will be very helpful to all of us. So let's just pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, I thank you that you didn't waste your sorrows. Thank you, Lord, that you died on the cross and that you suffered incredible pain. And you were tortured and suffered in so many different ways as if to cover every possible human need. We thank you, Lord, for what you did. And Lord, we thank you for giving your Holy Spirit to help us. Lord, we ask you would help us today by opening our eyes and by softening our hearts and giving us ears to hear what you're saying to us. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, all of you. What a privilege and honor it is to be here. And Jeannie wanted to just come and say a few words.
It's very unusual for me to stand this side. As many of you who know me well, I think when I first became a Christian, I thought, gosh, it's so hard having to express your heart. And it almost wanted me not to be a Christian, but we've moved on from that. And I just wanted to say that it's truly an honour to come and be with all of you this morning. I love you so dearly. And it is your love and your prayers and the grace of God that has brought us thus far, all of us thus far. We've all had many trials and things that God sends to us for us to draw closer to Him. And our suffering is never not for anything. And it is just an honor to be here and to stand here and give God the glory and the honor that He deserves. And to do it with all of you is precious. And I'm just so blessed that I've had a husband that's loved me, has loved me back to life. Thank you for just bearing with me. I'm just a woman of tears, and my precious son, Ben, who is my inspiration, his strength amazes me of what he's been through. My sweet mother-in-law, Bridget, who is my greatest godly example of a godly woman, and I thank you both. And all of you, thank you.
Good day. By God's grace?
It is God's grace that brings us to any place in our lives that we can go on.
Yes. Thanks, Deb. So we wanted to share this morning about God's grace because, as Jeannie said, it is His grace that enables us to stand here today. And so we wanted just to reflect how we've seen His grace come to us and sustain us over the last 15 years in particular. 15 years ago, we were here. We were living on Chetwynd Road. Actually, no, we were living in, I think, Wellington Road out a little bit at that time. But Chetwynd Road for 10 years or so. Remember Mercy? We were just up the road from Mercy. And we had a wonderful 22 years serving God here at New Life. Recognize many of you here this morning. And that was a wonderful time. I want to say that you're very blessed, you know, to be here, because I've seen hundreds of churches in my time in America and over here. And the love that flows here at New Life is really very, very special. In fact, it reminded me of one of the praise marches we did through Camden. Some of you may remember that. I don't know if you've done any of those recently. We were doing a praise march through Camden, and I never forget it, because we ended up round by the police station, and we'd gone right the way through Camden, through the high street, and we collected a few people on the way. And I remember one of the people came up, and she said, her eyes were just pouring with tears. She just said, "It was like a river of love flowing through Camden, and I had to join you guys." Amazing. Do you remember that? It was really, very special. And that's what you are here. You're a river of love that's flowing through Camden and through North London here. And as you are faithfully serving God, that love and that light is actually doing something in the spiritual realm. And that's very powerful. And what you have here is incredibly special. The worship, the praise, the love that flows. So be grateful for it, enjoy it. And you've got wonderful leaders in Nick and Paul and Bob and all the others who are leading here, and Barbara and Joe and Vicky. Wonderful leaders, and all the others. I know there's many leaders here. Godly people who are faithfully serving God. So I just wanted to mention that. And that, of course, is God's grace as well. Now, God's grace, sometimes people describe it as a general grace. The theologians would say general grace is the grace that allows all of us to exist. There's a word in Hebrews 1 which talks about everything is held together by the power of his word. And they try and work out how is it that our atoms are held together. They're doing a big experiment in Switzerland, spending billions of dollars trying to work out how these atoms hold together. Actually, the shape of the inner atom is the shape of a cross, interestingly. They can't work it out. Well, the Bible says everything's held together by the power of his word. So general grace speaks about God's word holding this whole universe together. You and I'm standing here, you're sitting here. We couldn't be here as we are now apart from God's word. We would all just disintegrate. It's literally his word that holds us together, his power. And that's general grace. Everyone has that grace. Unfortunately, not many people recognize it and realize it. And then we also have specific things that God gives us in our lives. Gifts that he gives us, callings that he calls us to. And he gives us grace to be able to do the things that he's called us to do. That's specific grace. And we've been realizing over the last 15 years that it's only by God's grace that we've been able to journey through what we've been going through, still going through. And that's the grace of God. What is the grace of God? Bible says that where Paul was going through it, and we're not sure what it was he was going through, but he was going through a hard time. And he called out to God and said, "God, just rescue me from this." And the words that the Lord spoke back to him was, "My grace is sufficient for you." And that is true, that his grace is sufficient for us. But the question is, what is his grace? What does it look like? And I like to, my simple definition of grace is actually it's Jesus. Because in Jesus, we have everything that we need for the things that God calls us to. So he came and walked on this earth, went through all the things that we go through, experienced it, so that he could then give us what we need in his life, in his body. You know, you can't have empathy with people unless you journeyed on that same road. You can have compassion, but you can't have empathy. You only have empathy when you've journeyed along that road. And so Jesus journeyed on the road so that he knows exactly what we go through. He knows all the challenges that we have. And he's able to give us what we need to keep on journeying on through his life. So remember when he gave his life, he said, "My body which is given for you, my blood which is shed for you, I'm giving you all that I am so that you can do the things that I've called you to do." Specifically, whatever that is. So one of the definitions, I remember Nick used to share this, similar to this anyway. It's God's empowering presence. That's through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, remember, takes from what is Jesus is, his life. Jesus is in heaven. The Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. He said, "I'll take from what is mine." The Holy Spirit will take from what is mine. He'll make it known to you. He'll give you what you need for the things that I've called you to. So his presence empowers us, enables us to reveal God's love and to be his witness to a lost and broken world, whatever circumstance you find yourself in. The whole purpose of this, you might ask, why are we here? Why are you here in Tufnell Park? Why are we here over in America? Why is it we ended up in America? What's the purpose of the whole thing? And of course, the purpose is that God wants a people that are his very own who will be with him for eternity. We live in a world that's basically pushed God out and said, no, we want to be God. And right from the very beginning, we know in Genesis that God said very clearly, I need to be in the center. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. I need to be in the center. And when I'm in the center, there's love in the center and everything works. But if you put yourself in the center, it won't work. There'll be death. And that's what we see in the universe, don't we? There's disorder, there's death, tragedy. And God hates it. He hates suffering. He hates pain. One of the big reasons that people fall away from God. How can a loving God allow all the suffering in the world? And Christians often can fall away because things happen in their lives that they hadn't planned for. It doesn't seem to tie up with a loving God. And they lose their faith for a while. Jeannie, for a while, went through a terrible time. I'll share it in a moment. When things happen that don't tie up with your understanding of Scripture and understanding of God, people can lose their faith. So God wants us to have an understanding of his purposes and what he's doing. God hates suffering. He's allowed us to be in this world with free will where we can say yes to God or no to God. And when we say no to God, we go off into disorder and there's a lot of pain and suffering. So you see in Genesis 6 and verse 6, it says that God looked down after a time when God had been pushed out and humankind was going their own way. And there was terrible suffering and terrible pain in the world. And it says that God's heart was broken. God's heart was broken by all the suffering. The good news is that we know that Jesus came to rescue us, didn't he? He came to make a way for this broken world to have access back to God and to be with God for eternity through Jesus. So we can have our sins forgiven, come back into relationship with God. And then he said to his followers, I want you now to take this same message that what I've done through Calvary, we sung about Calvary this morning, what I've done through Calvary, I've made a way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I've made a way for you to come into relationship with God. And I want you to take this message and share it in this broken world. I want you to go in where there's suffering and where there's pain. And I want you to take this same message that I came to bring to this universe. I want you to do the same thing. So what is it all about? Sharing God's love. There's a lot of brokenness around here, isn't there? We're in Camden, all around here, there's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of pain. And I want you to go and be my hands and feet. And that's what you see with the early church, don't you? What do? They laid their lives down to share God's love. And when they were told, yeah, you've got to stop about talking about Jesus, they said, how can we not? We have to speak about Jesus. We know what this is all about. We know the truth of this. And now he's saying for all of us today, we carry on, will you? Now, the thing is that sometimes we go through a lot of pain in our lives. And I want to share a little bit about what we've been through and how we've seen God's grace come to us. In that situation, how we realize that even though it's very painful, and Jesus never promised us an easy life, did he? In this world, you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So we stand here today and we're broken through what we've been through, but and yet through it, we know God wants to work. And by his grace, we can keep going. By his grace, we can keep going. By his grace, we can get up every morning and we can do the things that he wants us to do. Joni Erickson Tada, who some of you may have heard of, she, at 16 years old, beautiful young girl, went and had a diving accident. She dived in and she broke her neck. And she's been a paraplegic probably for 40 years, I think. And she said this, she said, sometimes God permits what he hates to accomplish what he loves. And when you think at the center of our belief, our faith, is the cross of Jesus, isn't it? I was just reading this morning about Paul saying, when I came to you, to the Corinthians, all I wanted to know was Christ and him crucified. Right at the center of our faith is the cross of Jesus Christ, where God came to this earth, this broken earth. He came from the glory of heaven, came, walked amongst us for a while, and then was tortured to death in front of his mother. Arguably, it's the most grotesque thing that's ever happened on planet earth, is the cross of Jesus Christ. And yet, it's the most glorious thing that's ever happened on planet earth, because through that act, he saved the whole world. Isn't that a paradox? And sometimes the things that happen in our life, God is saying, hey, I want to use your brokenness for my glory. And you won't find anyone in Scripture who didn't go through brokenness. Anyone that God used didn't go through brokenness. No, and all the way through. So when we go through hard times, guess what? God's bringing us into an understanding of the life of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, so that we can now go and share it with other people. Corrie ten Boom said, I think it was her sister, Betsy, they were in Ravensbrück concentration camp, and they were going through terrible times and torture and everything else. And Betsy turned to her sister, Corrie, and said this. She said, we've got to tell people that there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. And that's a wonderful thing to be able to say. To be able to say to people, do you know what? We know a source of love. We know love that will meet you wherever you are in your deepest place. And we know it because we've been there. And that's what Betsy then said to her sister. They'll listen to us because of where we've been. And so we realize in our journey that God has permitted. God never causes evil, but sometimes he may permit it for an eternal purpose. And we just want to be faithful in allowing God to be able to use our lives now for that reason. So I'm going to just share a little bit about this. One of our favorite verses, or three verses in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. It's a chapter on brokenness, where Paul says about the brokenness that he went through. One of the verses he says in there is that death reigns in me, that life might reign in you. See, Jesus talked about the grain of wheat falling to the ground and dying. There's this principle in the kingdom of God that we have to decrease that he might increase. We lay our lives down that he might be glorified. And this scripture is so important because one of the things, in fact, this is the one thing I want you to remember this morning, really from our journey is this, is that make every effort to keep your eyes on the right thing. Just remember that. Make every effort to keep your eyes on the right thing. It talks about faith is being sure of what you hope for, certain of the things you can't see. All right? And these three verses are very important to us because it says, therefore we do not lose heart. So Paul's talked about all of his brokenness. And then he says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, and many of us know that this morning, don't we? That the hairs have gone a bit, my friend Patrick welcomed me this morning with a picture of 20 odd years ago, I guess it was. And no grey hairs, it was still dark, looking a lot slimmer and more healthy, looking fresher. We know that we're wasting away. We know that our bodies aren't the same as they used to be. Sometimes my head says I can do the things, but I quickly realise my body says, no, you can't. Don't even try it. Though we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. There's things going on that we can't see. There's things of the Spirit. We're being renewed day by day as we walk with Jesus. And then it goes on, for our light and momentary troubles. How many people have got troubles here this morning? Probably a few of us have got a few things that are challenges in our lives. The Bible says they're light and momentary. Sometimes it doesn't feel like that, does it? Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs them all. Therefore, we fix our eyes. These are looking at the right things. Therefore, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And that is how Jeannie and I and Ben and Mum, in the suffering we go through, we fix our eyes on the right things. We try to. Because I can tell you, sometimes I find it really hard. Sometimes it's very hard. Sometimes I understand what Paul said, death reigns in me that life might reign in you. And it feels very painful. But I know that as I get my eyes back on Jesus, he lifts me up and he keeps me going. Remember Peter on the water. It doesn't take long for me to start sinking very quickly if I get my eyes off him and the eternal things. The things we see now are temporary. The things that are unseen are eternal. Sometimes I have a ribbon. I forgot it, otherwise I would have called you up, Pat, to help me this morning. But I have a ribbon, and I take one little thread out of the ribbon, and then I asked my helper, would have been you, Pat, but I forgot it this morning. I asked my helper to take the ribbon and just to reel it right out there. And this is our life now. It's just a thread. What is to come is eternal. It goes on forever. It says about Jesus, it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So I'm going to share now a little bit about our journey. And yes, it's been painful, but I want you to remember that we try and fix our eyes on the things that are unseen. Our perspective on life makes a huge difference. Even day by day, we know that, don't we? How you view things makes a huge difference. Jeannie and I, just an illustration, Jeannie and I were in a cinema not so long ago. And I was looking at the screen. I thought, goodness me, I'm aging
quicker than I thought, because everything looked very blurred on the screen. I thought, there's something wrong with my eyes, gone very bad. And then I remembered they thrust something into my hand as I walked into the cinema. And of course, it was a pair of glasses. And I put these glasses on, and suddenly all these things were coming off the screen at me. It was one of these 3D films. You see, that it changed the perspective on things, didn't it? How you view things makes such a difference on how you live your life. Admiral Nimitz was a guy who took over in Pearl Harbor after the Japanese attacked the base there. And on Christmas Day, he went out on a boat trip, and they took him round the harbor to see all the destruction and all the things that had gone on. And they came back to the moorings, and the boatman said to the admiral, he said, "Well, what do you make of all of that terrible carnage out there?" And he said, "Well," he said, I see God's mercy, actually." And that boatman said, "Well, what do you mean you see God's mercy?" He said, "Well, I'll tell you why. Yes, I see all of the carnage and the ships that have been sunk and everything else." He said, "But this is what I see. I see three things. Number one, I see that those 200 Japanese aircraft attacked on Sunday morning. If they'd waited and attacked the fleet when they were out at sea, it wouldn't have just been 3,800 sailors that would have died. It would have been 38,000 that would have perished. Number two, yes, they sunk the ships, but they didn't touch the dry docks. And therefore, we can take our ships and we can get them fixed. And there's a whole crew waiting to man those ships as well. And number three," he said, "5 miles away from the docks was all this fuel. It would have taken one plane to go and strife that fuel, and then we really would have been in serious problems." He said, "I see the mercy of God on America." And you know the rest of the story. You see, how we view things makes a huge difference on how we live. So in 2004, Phil, if you can just put the next slide up, if you will. That was us, 2004. Still not many, I can't see any grey hairs there. That's pretty good, isn't it? There we were, and we were in living in a place called Rye. We'd been unexpectedly led over to the USA. I don't know if I've ever shared this story with you, but we had a vision to be in London and not expecting to go overseas. And so when the bank said, "Hey, we want you to go to New York to launch this product," I originally said no. And the guy kept on asking me, and in the end, I won't go through all the story, in the end, I said, "Okay." I said, "Jeannie and I," it was on the morning that I had to make a decision, and I came downstairs and I said, "Jeannie, I think I'm still going to say no." And she said, "Well, your mum called last night and she had a word from God for you." And it was a clear word from Genesis 24 where Eliezer goes to get Rebekah for Isaac. And the word was that Rebekah didn't tarry. She decided to go. And up her roots and off she went. And I felt that was a tipping point. Okay, God, you're saying to move. Well, that morning when I was going into work to say yes to the bank, I went by tube. And normally I would cycle. I got on the tube and there was a guy sitting there who I'd met just a week before. And he'd worked in New York for 10 years. Now, you don't normally meet people on the tube, you know, let alone someone who's lived and worked in a place you're just saying yes to go to. I came out of work that night, got on the tube at bank, and we had Alpha that night. Got on the tube. There was one of the guys who was on the Alpha course. Now, there were only about 30 people on the course. He had been a courier in Manhattan for about 10 years as well. That was the day that I was going to say yes. And that was God's grace to us there appearing to us, because over the last 15 years, there's been many times where I'm thinking, "Lord, do we make a terrible mistake through all of this?" And God said, "No, I'm in this. I'm working in and through this for my glory and for my honor." So we were at 2004. There we were. We were living in a place called Rye, New York. And that was wonderful. And then we'd moved over at that stage to, that was 2003. I took that photograph. 2004, we actually moved to Chicago because the bank had purchased an organization which I'd asked to do the integration for. And I remember saying to Jeannie in that year, "Jeannie, does it get any better than this?" Everything was going really well. We loved Jesus. We loved each other. Had 3 beautiful children. Seen people come to the Lord on Alpha in a great church. Does it get any better than this? We were on the top of the mountain. You know, sometimes in life, you are on the top of the mountain. We go through seasons, don't we, in our walk with Jesus? Go through seasons. And maybe some this morning who are on the top of the mountain. Everything's great. Everything's great. Well, if that's where you are, praise God. Enjoy it while you're there. Because the promise actually is that you're going to have trouble. Sooner or later, there's going to be trouble. Because that's Jesus said. He promised that. And sure enough, not long after I'd said that to Jeannie, I felt God say to me that we were going to go through a period of brokenness. And we did, of course, go through unbelievable brokenness and really still going through it in a sense. So it was just later that year, it was Alex, our youngest son Alex. Some of you may remember Alex. And he took a drug, got delusional, and on the 8th of November 2005 went out and committed suicide. And that was just a cloud of absolute darkness came upon us and utter total brokenness. And cried more than we never cried in the rest of my life put together. Jeannie nearly lost her life from a broken heart, had internal intestines twisted and knotted. She had to have emergency surgery to cut it out, and nearly put into had to take her to a psychiatric hospital because she was running out of the house. She's just, her mind could not cope with what had happened, and then she just went from darkness to darkness. And after a while, she couldn't reconcile how God could have allowed this to happen, and lost her faith for a couple of years, actually. And it was utter pain, but God's grace kept us going. And I used to go down early in the morning and to my study, and I used to weep until I had no more cries, the tears left to weep, crying out at the throne of grace. See, I can tell every one of you here and everyone around the world that there's a place called the throne of grace. The throne of grace is a place where the Bible says you can receive mercy. So maybe you've messed up, whatever. Maybe things have not gone well. Receive mercy, and you can receive grace to help in time of need. And I'm a regular visitor there. And so we'd go, I'd just cry and cry and say, Lord, you've got to help me. Help me to keep loving. You see, when we go through hard times, there's two things really that God asks us to do. Keep loving. Keep loving. Don't get mean. Don't get bitter. Keep loving and keep sharing that love with other people, which is the great command and the great commission. Those are really the two things that God asks us to do. Wherever you are, love with everything you've got, and then share my love, God's love, with other people. So we do that. I remember one day in the early morning, I felt an arm around me and I looked up and there was no one there. And I really did feel this arm around me, and I realized then after a while it was Jesus. He was there, and his arm was around me. And what really struck me was that he was weeping with me. He was weeping with me. And in that, I started to realize how much it breaks his heart. God's heart is broken with all the suffering. He's broken by all the people who are around here behind closed doors who are going through hard times. Maybe they've been abused. Maybe things have happened in their lives that shouldn't have happened. Because we live in this broken world which has pushed God out, and God's heart is broken with it. And you might say, well, why doesn't God finish it all? Why doesn't he bring it all to an end? That's a fair question. One of the things I've learned on this journey is that God likes us to ask questions. He says, come to me with your issues. Come and talk to me about it. He doesn't want us to close off. He wants us to come and share it with him. Even shout at him if you need to. But just come to him. Don't turn. Just come to him and talk to him about it. And that's a good question. And the answer, of course, is that, you see, he has done something about it in Jesus, and he's going to do something about it when Jesus comes back. There is a day, and I don't think it's long, and Jesus is coming back. But, of course, when that happens, that's the end of it. It's the end of this age. And those who have rejected Jesus there and pushed him out will not be with him for eternity. Those of us who receive Jesus will be with him for eternity, which is wonderful. But, you see, that's when that happens that day, that's it. That's it. And God's heart, it says that he doesn't want anyone to perish. So every day, although his heart is broken by all the suffering that's going on, he sees it all, he feels it all. He's giving every day another chance for precious souls to be rescued, to be with him for eternity. Isn't that beautiful? Every day, it gives him a chance. We were in Atlanta a couple of weeks ago at a conference, and we're just sitting down at this table, just at the last meal, and this guy was coming serving. It was an Indian guy called Mike. Actually, his name wasn't Michael. God, I can't pronounce his Indian name, so I went and said, call him Michael. And I just said, I looked up and said, you see, people cross our paths all the time that God brings into our lives. And I said to Michael, where are you from? I wasn't sure where he was from, but I'm going to India, so I wondered whether he might be Indian. He said, yeah, I'm Indian. He said, and I said, well, where do you live? He said, where are you from? He said, Hyderabad. Well, I'm going to Hyderabad. This time next week, I'll be in Hyderabad, flying out there. I said, that's interesting, because I'm just about to go over to Hyderabad. So we got chatting a little bit, even though he was maybe serving the table. Then I said, I've got something I want to give to you. Can I have my calendar down there, Nick? So I wanted to give him one of these calendars. Thank you. So I said, come with me. So he came back to my room, the conference room where we were sharing. And I was surprised, really, because he came away from where he was serving. But God was clearly touching him. And we got chatting a bit more, and he said, I told him what we were doing, this ministry called Awakening to God. And he said, I've been through some suffering, he said. He said, 3 years ago, my brother committed suicide. And I said, well, our youngest son committed suicide in 2005. I said, but God's been helping us through it. He said, can you tell me about this God? He was a Hindu. Who is this God? And I told him about Jesus, and he said, can I receive him? Can I have him to my heart? And there and then, just said a little prayer with him, and he received Jesus as his Savior. And he'll be with us through eternity. I'll introduce you when we're there to him. And Jeannie was there, we prayed with him, and his face just completely changed. The scales came off, and a big shining face came on him. You see, it's about rescuing souls. In our brokenness, you would rescue. That's what the early church did. They laid their lives down, and most of them were martyred, you know that. Suffered terribly, just to get this message out. So out of that, I ended up running Alpha. Alpha was all about rescuing, you know that, it's about rescuing souls for eternity. I had the privilege of seeing 250,000, we estimate, the last couple of years I was there in 2014, 2013, people coming to know Jesus through Alpha. So I had the privilege of serving in that role. And out of the brokenness, out of that time, because one of the things that the Lord showed me through that time was eternity. I saw it, I know it so clearly. I know that this life is so short, and I know what's coming. Desperate for saving souls. So I ended up serving there, and then our darling Rebecca came and served with us. You remember, some of you remember Rebecca. And she was such a treasure, such a sweet, sweet girl, and had brought so much joy into our lives. And she came and served with us in Alpha. And she was so broken by what had happened to Alex, she wanted to rescue young people. She ended up leading Alpha USA and did a great work, helping to lead through Alpha thousands of people to come to know Jesus in a wonderful way. And then in 2014, Rebecca and I were down in San Diego. We were at a conference ministering together. And she stayed on, and I had to come back to London, actually, with Jeannie to a conference here, an Alpha conference. So she stayed on down there, and she was ministering down there. And she was so popular that so many of the youth leaders around America knew her and loved her. She'd been living with us for 10 years, such a great treasure. And I had the privilege of going to work with her every morning. So we used to drive to work and have a sweet, sweet time. And we used to cross at a certain point on our journey, we'd cross the railway lines. And that was the point where we just started praying together. And she'd pray for my friends, and I'd pray for her friends, and we'd pray for the work. And it was an amazing time. Well, after being down in San Diego, she flew back to Chicago, and on the 8th of May, she went out for a run. It was a very hot day, and she went to run and try to cool off down by Lake Michigan, where we were living fairly close there, and we know that she had blood sugar issues, and we think she actually passed out because she was vulnerable for that, a rush to her head, fell into the lake, and where she'd fallen in, she couldn't get out. And she tried to swim around to where there was a ramp where the boats go in and out. And the water was 37 degrees. And she ended up getting hypothermia. And she drowned. There were four people who saw her drowning because they rang 911. She was calling out for help. And they saw her. And if they thought a bit more, and we don't hold anything against them because we just realized in God's providence, it was her time to go home. But we realized that God was pointing something through that message, because just literally 30 seconds to 60 seconds away from where they were standing, if they thought about it, there were these kayaks. And if they got their kayak, they could have gone out and probably rescued her. And I said to the Lord, well, what are you saying through all of this? What is that? Because, you know, God doesn't allow anything in our lives without his permission. You know that. He's in total and utter control. God never loses control. That's the sovereignty of God. He holds everything together by the power of his word. He sees everything, knows everything. So what he permits in our lives is for a reason. So, Lord, what are you saying through that? And I felt it was actually a wake-up call for the church. Because, you see, there's people all around us family, friends, neighbours, work colleagues who are actually sinking for eternity. And if we could just use our head a little bit, we could start thinking and asking the question, how can I reach out to help that person and this person? How can I get alongside them? How can I become friends with them? Jesus was a friend of sinners. Where God's put us is no coincidence. Every place where we are is for a reason. In our work, in our neighborhood, where we are, here in Camden, God's put you here for a reason, to rescue souls. And we just need to use our heads a little bit and think a little bit more. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I reach out? Well, our darling Rebecca completely broke our hearts. Again, we were already broken from Alex. And so now Rebecca as well. And darling Jeannie, to have been through 8 years of utter grief and brokenness. And now Rebecca too. And so, and I shared it with Jeannie, because she wasn't there at the time when I got the news. It was just awful. And Jeannie wasn't going to make it through. And she had decided she was going to take her life. Do you want to say anything about the encounter, Di? No. So this is a very sacred time, what happened next with Jeannie. And this is God's grace that's going. All the time, God's grace comes to us in different ways. So God's grace came to me, particularly when I was to go to the throne of grace. Touches from God through those 8 years. God's grace coming to us to help us to get on. All the time, his provision through Jesus to rescue us. Well, Jeannie had decided in herself, I can't make this through. I can't do another 8 years like this. This is too much. She was going to take her life and made a decision to do it. She went up to Rebecca's bedroom. She went into that room and she wasn't going to come out. And as she went into the room and she closed the door, this white light came amazingly into this room, and the presence of God filled that room. And she was, for a moment, she was in the presence of God. You can just go, there we are, the divine. She was in God's presence. And the Lord spoke to her in that time. And one of the things that she saw in that time was how great God is and how tiny we are. And God spoke to her and said to her, Jeannie, your grief is not your own. And one of the impressions that came out of it was that she just wanted, from having a moment in God's presence. See, I don't know if you've experienced God's, we've all experienced God's presence in one way or another. But sometimes you have this, he opens the curtain a little bit more. He opened the curtain a bit more. And Jeannie then, in seeing God's presence, then all her heart was to do the things that God's called her to do while we remain on earth. And to hear those words at the end of the journey, well done, good and faithful daughter, you've done the things I've asked you to do. That was the impression that came to her in God's presence, that it's all about his glory. Remember with Job, God never answered any of Job's questions. Remember that? All he did was start to point to his own glory. You see, all of this, it's not about us. Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, remember he starts with those three words, it's not about you. Having our eyes on the right thing is so important. It's not about me, it's not about you. It's all about him and his glory and his purpose. That's what it's about. Jeannie came down that stairs. I was sitting downstairs reading John 6. I'm reading about Jesus saying to the people who had been coming to him for what they could get out of it. See, sometimes in Christianity, people have been a bit misled. They think it's all about them. What can you get from Jesus? He does give you his life. He gives you everything. But actually, the key is to realize it's all about him and his glory. She came out, her face was completely changed. Do you remember Moses went up the mountain and his face shone? She was a bit like that. She came down, her face completely changed. And I said, Jeannie, what has happened to you? We had an unexpected visitor, literally about an hour or so later, popped round to our house. And she said the same thing to Jeannie, straight off the bat. Jeannie, what's happened to you? Later we went out for dinner that night with some friends. Same thing, opened the door. Jeannie, what has happened to you? Completely transformed in the presence of God. That was God's grace coming to her. That's what she needed at that time to enable us to journey on. You see, it's all about, he gives us what we need to do his will, to keep loving and to keep telling other people about him and his salvation. That's the grace of God. He equips us with everything we need to do his will. So now we ask the question, okay, Lord, how do you want to use this brokenness? How do you want to use what you've put in our hands? And the Lord started to speak to us about the words that Jesus used when he started his ministry. Do you remember those words? He repeated Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. Well, actually, the first verse 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to do what? To bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to release the captives and bring light to those who are in prison, to the prisoners. And so we started to see that God had imparted into our hearts his heart to help people who are suffering. Does that make sense? And so I stepped down from Alpha and I said, look, this is what God's called us to, and this is what we want to do. We just feel God's imparted to us his comfort. It says in 2 Corinthians 1, the comfort wherewith you've been comforted, you now can comfort other people. And we're starting to see that play out now. The grace he's given us, we can pass that grace on to others. That same conference in Atlanta, we had this couple came from all the way from Nigeria. And they came with their two children. And the reason they came was that they heard about our ministry, Awakening to God Ministry. Some of you being on Facebook, I know Sally, I see some of your likes. Thank you for that. And we're trying to get this message out. A bigger vision of God. See, that's why we're calling it Awakening to God. A bigger vision of who our God is. That he's all-powerful, almighty. He holds everything together by the power of his word. And a bigger vision of his calling on our lives, that we're not here by coincidence. He's called everyone. I love the thing that we saw Michelle did earlier. We're all his favorites. And what he's put into our lives now, he wants to use for his glory. So what's he put into your life? What have you experienced? You know, Jim Daly, who leads Focus on the Family, is probably the biggest family ministry in the world. And his testimony is that when he was a child, he went through the worst things you could imagine as a child. Family broke up. He had problems through foster homes. He was abused. You name it. And his testimony is, guess what? God allowed me to go through that so that I can now lead this organization. What he went through now, he can pass on to other people. And what we are able to do is to pass on the comfort God has given us. So this couple from Nigeria, they came over because in 2014, just before Rebecca passed, their eldest son was killed in a car accident. Their youngest son had been killed in 2000. And they were struggling as a family. And they wanted to know how to keep going. I think we were able to share. We had some sweet time praying with them, just passing on. Another couple came along. She had been out, totally out of it. And this has to be a God thing. What God's grace coming. She was lying on her bed in total darkness, in depression. And suddenly her phone started shaking. So she looked down at it, and my ugly mug came up on it. How it came up, I do not know. And anyway, she looked at it, and of course, and she found out of it, the ministry and what we're doing. She realized that we were going to be in Atlanta. They traveled all the way there to Atlanta because 2 months before, her beloved youngest son had committed suicide, and she wasn't coping. And we were able to have a sweet time of sharing. Jeannie, particularly, was able to give her mother's heart, her hug to this dear, dear lady who was suffering so much. And what we realize now is what God's imparted to us is that we can impart onto other people this great news about God's love and his grace to rescue people who are broken. And so we started this now. And our vision is we got a big vision. It was saying we have a big God, so we should have a big vision. Have a big vision for your lives. Don't aim too low. And so we're saying, okay, Lord, you've allowed us to go through this for a reason. And now we want to use it for your glory. We want to help other people now. And so we're saying, okay, Lord, we saw great, wonderful people coming to know the Lord when we were doing Alpha. Now we want to reach people around the world who are suffering. And boy, is there a lot of suffering around. You know that, don't you? All around the suffering. We call the captives. You captives are people who've had things happen in their life through no fault of their own. They didn't ask for it. Maybe they were abused as children. Maybe they lost their health, or maybe they lost their finances. Things that they didn't cause just happened to them because they live in a broken world. Just what Jesus wants to come and rescue them. Or the prisoners are people who made bad decisions. And out of those bad decisions, they become addicted in different ways. Or maybe they're incarcerated. Now, 2.3 million people in the United States are incarcerated in prison. Either way, whether it's through wrong decisions of their own, whether they're captives, either way, Jesus wants to come and rescue them and bring them his love and his peace. So we're saying, okay, Lord, we want to see a big thing. We want to see your glory. That's our big prayer now. That's what I prayed for this morning. Lord, your glory. What's his glory? It's his love, his presence, his rescue coming to people. We want to see your glory broken out across this world. And so here's what our vision is. You ready? Standing, sitting, steady. We want to reach 2 billion people. 1 billion for each of our children, all right, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our vision. Now you think, whoa, how on earth is that going to happen? Well, I'll tell you how it's going to happen, because you see, God's made a way today where it's possible. You know how that is? Through these little things, all right? Social media. You see, in Jesus' time, it was the Roman road, yeah? The Roman road was what? The communication way, wasn't it? That's how they traveled, to communicate, that messenger. They traveled the Roman road, and then the language was Koine Greek, was the language of the New Testament. Today it's English, or a translation through technology. What's the third way that you communicate? How do you connect with people? What's the best way you can connect with people? Any ideas? What's that? Yeah, talking, that's good, Pat, yeah. But is that what specifically that you talk about that people connect with? Think of, what's that? Football, you should say football. Yeah, that's football is one way. But maybe some of the girls don't interested in football. It's story, isn't it? It's story. I bet you probably listen more when I was telling you stories this morning than any other thing. Who likes going to the theatre? To the movies, yeah. We love story. The whole Bible's a story. It's history, his story. It's all about story. Jesus spoke through parables, didn't he? What was he doing? He was trying to communicate God's love for the universe, his love for you and me. And so we realize that through this story that God's put into our hands, we can connect with people arguably more than any other thing. Success connects in a certain way. Love, to a certain extent, but some people don't know love. But suffering is something else, isn't it? People connect with suffering. When you can connect with their pain, they listen to you. And so we've started to go on, and hey, I'm a complete novice at social media, by the way. I really got no idea. But we started to do it. We started in June, really, and started to put some messages out. We had 2,000 followers, and those on social media get an idea of this. 2,000 followers, Awakening to God Ministry, look on Facebook. This morning, I think the last time I looked, we were about 185,000 followers on Facebook. Lily's nodding her head. She's one of the people who does some comments. Forgive me, by the way, those who make comments, I don't get back to you. I'm sorry about that. Forgive me for that. Thank you, Lily. There we go. But you see, God's given us a way today. Now, I know Satan's misusing this and people are getting really messed up with all the stuff that's on it. But hey, let's take it back. Let's take it back. Let's start putting out God's word and God's messages and God's love. And so we can come in. Next year, they reckon there's going to be 8 billion of these around the planet. What a way to be able to share God's love and God's peace with people. And so that's part of our ministry. Can you just get the next slide? How do we go on from there? So there's our goal, and the next one, if you will. So that's what we want to do, bring good news to the poor. To comfort the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners. And again, to the next one. So that's what we're going to do through social media. So as Nick said, earlier this year, we were praying about people who are suffering, and India came to mind. India, I don't know if you know, is known as the land of the suffering. Unbelievable suffering in India. 300 million people live on a dollar or less a day. And just go through terrible, terrible times. And so we were praying. The next day, literally the next day, I had a phone call from someone over in India and said, hey, would you come and speak to our leaders? And I said, yeah, I'll do that. Come and share. And so we realized God was leading us. And then we thought, well, what can we do to bless people while we're over there? And so we were going to go through medical stuff, but then we realized it was too complicated, couldn't do it. So we thought the best thing we can do was mosquito nets. And so we started to get the think about that, had to raise the money for 35,000. That was God's grace as well, because it's a lot of money we had to raise and still trying to raise it. Had a manufactured over in India. And then we realized, then we just heard, some of you may have heard, there was a new BBC News on the 3rd of October, and it was cross BBC News. India is having one of the worst outbreaks of disease carried by mosquitoes in their history. Literally thousands and thousands of people are dying. Malaria, dengue, chikungunya is going on. We had no idea of that when we first started. God was clearly in there. So we're going over and we're going to give out 35,000 nets. 50,000 of these, more of these. We couldn't quite raise the money for the other 15,000 of the nets. So 50,000 of these, 35,000. And they're going to go to the poorest of the poor. People who have been told, because they're Hindu families, people who have been told, guess what? You're suffering because you deserve it. They're told because you did something in the wrong life, in the previous life. You need to go through suffering to get over it. And our God's not like that, is he? Our God says, no, 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 that's not true. I want to come down and I want to love you and rescue you and bring you hope and a future. Praise God. So every day, that, see, what got us through, what Michelle was saying about God's scripture is so true. What got us through that story was the comfort of the Holy Spirit, but also God's word. After Alex passed, we had someone in our church where we were going to at the time. Every day for 12 months, she sent us a postcard. And on one side was love, and on the other side was a scripture. And it was those scriptures that we clung onto with everything we've got. That's why what Michelle said was so true this morning. If there's one other thing, one thing this morning, keep your eyes on the right things, which is the eternal things, and your eyes on Jesus. The second thing is, get as much of God's word in you as you can. Remember Jesus said, he's a wise person who builds his house upon the rock. Because you're going to have hard times. We live in a broken world. But he said, remember, those who have my word and put it into practice are like those who build their house on a rock. And whatever you go through, you're standing on God's word, he'll see you through. And so we look ahead. Can we have the next slide, if you will? Our vision as we look ahead is eternity. And so there's grace for the day, for today, and there's grace for tomorrow. Because our eyes are on what is to come. What is to come. And we know that we're going to see Rebecca again. She knew Jesus, as did Alex. He made a bad decision, but we're going to see him again. We know we're going to see my dad, my brother, and my sister, and those who've gone ahead of us. Jeannie's nephew, who passed in a car accident. We know we're going to see them again, and then we will be with them forever. And we'll all have a great gathering up there. We'll all chat around and talk about, remember our time. I have a theory that there's a replay button. We go through our lives, and we see God's grace shown to us. All the things he kept away from us. All the things he brought to us. He'll connect all the dots. And the things we thought, why did you do that, Lord? Oh, now I see it. It's the other side of the tapestry. This side can look a bit messy, can't it, sometimes? The other side is beautiful. That's his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so our eyes are fixed for the things that are ahead. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. Praise God. So it's God's grace. I'll end with that. God's grace, Jesus, who's made real to us through the Holy Spirit. And he gives us the strength, he gives us the comfort, he gives us the peace, he gives us the joy, he gives us whatever we need to do his will as we journey on through life. So just share with you one final thought, and that is this. Because there's, you know, some days which are hard. I would be lying if I didn't tell you that. Some days it's very hard. And we do cry. There's memories as I drive around Regent's Park, or drive around Kenwood and all around there, the memories we have of the happy days. And I often weep when I drive around here. We had such happy days. And with many of you guys, special times. And it breaks my heart when I think about those things. But try and fix my eyes on what's ahead. And there's one word I want to just encourage you with, and that's courage. Courage. Because there's some days you may feel, hey, do you know what? I don't think I've got the strength to keep going. And yet when you step out, somehow God's grace comes to you. When you get out of that bed in the morning, you keep going, you step out and God's grace comes to you. So someone needs to hear that this morning, to be courageous where you are. Keep moving forward in God. Keep looking to him. And as you step forward, you'll find that he'll give you the strength to keep going. Praise God. Anything you want to add, Diane? Mum, is there anything you wanted to say? No? No. Okay. Let's just say a little prayer, shall we? We'll end. Father, we just thank you for your great love for us, for each one of us. Lord, we thank you for making a way through Jesus that we can be with you forever. Thank you that Rebecca and Alex are with you now, and others of our loved ones are with you now. And there will be a day, we think it's not long, Lord, where you'll bring us all together. You make all things beautiful in your time. But for now, Lord, you've left us here for a reason, for a purpose, for a calling. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll help us, Lord, to fix our eyes not on the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. And to be faithful to the things you've called each one of us to do, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Can I just say, if you can't afford these this morning, we'd love each one of you to have one. So if you can't afford it, please just take one. They're full of scripture. If you as Nick said, if you want to pay a bit more, then praise God, that will cover maybe the people who can't afford it. But wonderful. Thank you so much for your patience. Bless you.
Thank you, Gerard. Yeah, so at the end, if you want one of these, but if you can afford something, give that. I think it would be lovely. Would you mind just praying for people if they wanted that? Yeah, yeah. If you feel you'd really like Gerard and Jeannie and the family to pray with you, then you can do that. Is Barbara around? Could we sing, Barbara, that one again? Calvary covers it all. I think it's so good, isn't it, what Gerard's saying, to fix our eyes on Jesus. I've often wondered, I've got nothing really to add to what Gerard said, but I've often wondered, why did the Father let Jesus suffer so much? Why did he, could he not have just been on the cross and taken the punishment for our sins and that will be enough and just die? But no, he suffered physically, emotionally. He was spat on. He was despised. He was abandoned. His face was marred so that he looked worse than anybody you could imagine. He went through terrible suffering on the cross. And I'm sure the reason is that none of us could ever say that we suffered more than him. And that is God's love. That is God's love, isn't it? So let's sing the song, Calvary Covers It All, and really fix our eyes on Jesus and praise him for his love and worship and adore him. And as we do that, if you would like Gerard and Jeannie to pray for you, then they're not rushing away, then do come to the front, and I'm sure they'd be happy to. Let's stand, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you for your help, Lord. Your grace and your mercy, Lord. For us today, Lord. Help us to fix our eyes on you, Lord. Find someone that you don't know as well as everybody else and wish them a good morning. Nobody heard me, did they? Ladies and gentlemen, can I have your attention, please? I was just be nice to find someone you don't know or you do know and greet them this morning. We're very happy to have the Long family with us this morning here at the front. So how are you all? Are we all good? I thought I might just tell you about how I felt this morning in our household. We are in need of God's grace. Yesterday was a mad day, and I just felt this morning one of those days when, for whatever my intentions were, I felt my heart was unprepared. It had been a mad, mad day. And I expect many of us here this morning have got a touch of madness in their lives. But the good news is that Jesus is here. And there's a wonderful verse in Revelation 3:20, which says, listen, and it's Jesus speaking, I'm standing at the door and knocking. Just to tell you the other part of the story. Just to tell you the oh, well.
Welcome, Lisa.
We got off to a very good start this morning in our house because Joe had asked me to wake her up at 6:15 at the latest, and I did. But when I looked at my phone this morning, it was 4 a.m., and I was sure it was 6. So she got a wonderful cup of tea, piping hot. I think she thought we'd been burgled. So in our household, we're in need of God's grace. But the wonderful thing is that Jesus is standing at the door and knocking, and all he wants this morning is for us to open our hearts. And with all the distractions and the things going on in our lives, let's just take a few moments before we sing just to open our hearts to him. Let's stand, shall we? It says in Revelation 3:20, listen, it says, listen, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. If anyone, and that means anyone, That means me and each one of us. If anyone opens the door, I will come in and I will eat with him and he with me. That's an amazing promise. Listen, can you hear him knocking? He is knocking and he's wanting to come into our lives today. And he brings forgiveness and grace and power for everything that we need. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are knocking at the door of our hearts today. And Lord, we just want to say to you, come in, Lord. Come into our praise.
Yes, Lord.
Come into our worship. Come into our listening. Come into our relationships. Come into our problems. Lord Jesus, we just say, come today. Come into our lives. We pray. Amen. Do you sit down for a second? Can we have the memory verse up? Last week, if you remember, Michelle came up with this wonderful idea that every month we would meditate on a particular scripture and learn it by heart. Has anybody learnt it by heart? Did I hear a yes over there? I did hear a yes. Has anybody over here learnt it? Memorized it? Barbara? Was that a yes, Barbara? Matthew, come on, Matthew.
He knows it in
French. Matthew's leading the way. We've got a month to learn this. Matthew, as you've learned this, has it actually spoken to you?
Yeah, I think it has. I've been trying to, basically, so my French teacher, I have these French speaking lessons with this teacher, and she's a Christian, and she kind of, in and out of church a bit, and so I've been trying to read my Bible in French, and so I decided to learn this in French. And so I got to tell her, and she was like, wow, that's amazing, wow. You know, I'm going to remember that all day. And so it was a good opportunity. Okay. There's a few French people in the room, you can correct me. Okay. Should I do it in English first? Okay. So, I'm going to forget it. I'm going to say it in French first. Accueillez-vous les uns les autres comme Jésus a vous accueilli pour la gloire de Dieu. Okay. Accept then one another, just as Christ accepted you. Bob's frowning. in order to bring praise to God. Romans 15:7.
Eliza, please. Quite quick. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Romans 15:7. Louise?
Yes.
Louise?
Yes. Louise is going to say, is paraphrasing it, so to get a better understanding.
When Michelle asked me to do this, I thought, actually, I'd rather just learn it. I'm quite good at learning things. That seems quite easy. Easier. But actually, as she asked me to do this, it really made me start thinking about the verse. What does it actually mean? And what does it mean to me? And I feel like I've started to take it on for me. So I think this has been real encouragement. So Michelle asked me to sort of put it into my own words, what does it mean? So this is where I've got to. Okay. So, welcome, receive, say yes to, be responsible for, accommodate, believe in, bear with each other. Jesus did this for you, that includes me. Now you, that also includes me, need to do the same. This gives glory to God.
Whoa.
Thank you. Okay. As a church, as Nick's already said, we've decided to learn one verse per month in order to bring God's word into our lives in greater power. And this happened to me 20 years ago when I learned loads of verses because I wanted God on the inside instead of theory. Jesus is the word. When you get the word, you get Jesus. When you get Jesus, you get everything. Everything, because he holds nothing back. It also says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Okay, so if I could just have Tribe up here, please. Thanks. Yeah. Okay, so this is the love line. Have you ever seen a love line before? How much does God love you? How much does God love you? Does he just barely tolerate you? 1 out of 100. Or are you valued, treasured 100%? Or, Jonathan, are you his favourite? Where are you on God's love line? When I learnt these verses, 36 of them, and we're just on verse 1, I knew on the inside that I was his favourite. And a lot of you do feel like that too, because you know God's word. So it's so valuable that we get God's truth inside us. So that you know deeply inside that your name is written in the palm of God's hand, and he holds you close to him for the whole of your lives. And it also says that God's word stands forever. So when we get God's word, we don't have to rely on feelings which ebb and flow. We can know truly every day that we're his favourite. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. It's great to have God's word in our worship, isn't it? And fantastic. Accept one another as Christ has accepted you. Let's stand now. We're going to take the offering, which basically means this lovely red receptacle receives anything we want to give of our lives back to God. If you're new and you're a taxpayer, then there's an envelope by the information desk that you can fill in. But let's, just before we sing, let's just pray this verse, shall we? As many of us stand as have got legs and are willing, accept one another as Christ has accepted you. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have accepted us because of the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we are all your favorite. And we pray today you give us grace to love one another. Amen.
Fantastic, fantastic. I wonder if you grab a seat. Big welcome if you're visiting today. It's lovely to have Gerard, Jeannie, Ben and Bridget with us today. Nick's going to be introducing them in just a moment. But I wonder if you grab a seat. If you're visiting today, welcome to a new life. Looking forward to a great time. Looking forward to a great time together. Just a couple of things I wanted to mention to you. First of all, just a reminder that we've got the Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes over there at the back. Idea is grab one of these and we fill it full of presents, and then they're sent off all around the world. It's a very practical way that we can demonstrate our Christian love to people all over the place, and millions of these go. Last year, it was brilliant to be able to take loads of these, and they were sent off. And so again, they're over there at the information point, and we'll be collecting them back any Sunday before and including the 6th of November. Also, just to mention, the very last day of October, Halloween, and we've got a not Halloween, it's a Halloween alternative, and we're joining with St. Luke's. If you're primary age, you'd like to come along to this light party, it's going to be at St. Luke's. Join party then. If you're a teenager and you'd like to help out, then please come and see Joe just to let her know that you can come. It's on the 31st of October. That's all, Nick.
Yes, it's a very special day today because it's so lovely to have the dear Long family with us, including the most senior member. I'm not going to tell you how young she is, but we love her. And it's just such a special thing to have them back. Some of you will remember, they were here a long time ago, and Gerald was one of the leaders here, longer than I care to remember. And they're going to be sharing with us afterwards, so that's lovely. Gerald was... some of you may know he left the UK and the family moved out to America. And for a long time, Gerard was running Alpha in the USA. And it was blessed, wasn't it? which is fantastic. And more recently, they've been finding their way, really seeking what God wants with their lives, and have got very involved, really, in, as far as I can see, helping people who are suffering. And one of the things that they have done is their hearts have reached out to the most disadvantaged people in India. And later this month, Gerard is going out to India, he's organised as part of what they're doing out there. How many mosquito nets is it? 35,000. Gerard never thinks small, does he, Jeannie? Never. And he's going to be not personally distributing 35,000 mosquito nets. And with the mosquito net, he's also they've done this calendar, a beautiful calendar, which they've been selling in America and in the UK. And there's a whole bunch of them. I asked Jared to bring some with him, and they're on the back there. And Bridget, with her fine entrepreneurial skills, she was once married to a pastor-entrepreneur. I think Joe knows what that's like. A terrible life. her heart has gone out to you many times. Bridget's going to be at the back at the end, and if you want one of these calendars, now they're quite expensive. They're £7, but for every calendar that Gerard sells here, 10 of them and 10 mosquito nets are going to somebody or some family in India. Have I got that right, Gerard? So I'd encourage you, if you want to pay more, you know, it would be welcome, because it's simply for that, really. We can be blessed by having our calendar, but the blessing really is going to extend to India. And it's also a very special day because it's somebody's birthday. My chief musician has left me, so I'm going to start this off myself, and I want you to join in nice and loud. It's Mr. Paul Hickman. Would you like to come to the front, Paul? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Paul. Happy birthday to you. Fantastic, fantastic. Now, what's this? What is going on here? I think there's maybe some other event. Is it Miriam? I think you might know something about this. It was going to be that, but this is appropriate.
Paul and Barbara, if you could come up, please. It was. It was Paul and Barbara's 25th wedding anniversary last week, so I thought it was a good chance for us to say thank you for all that they do for us. They've recently redecorated their bedroom, and I'm still waiting for my invitation to go and visit it. I have been promised one, but I did have a trusty spy who went and managed to see the bedroom and came back to me and said, they need new curtains. So in there is a John Lewis voucher for new curtains. There is some money for you to have a night out. And there's this. And then we had some money left over, and I prayed and asked God that a certain shop would have a sale, and they did. And then I got an email this last week saying that the shop had a further 10% off this weekend. So Raywin and I went up yesterday and had a great time. And then not all the items we wanted were in the sale. So because I'm a valued customer of the shop, I have a discount card. So I got 15% off everything. So Philippa and Sarah are bringing up all your belongings.
Thank you. Wow.
Because I know you will all agree with me that Paul and Barbara do so much for us, and this is a chance to say thank you back to them.
Thank you.
I am lost for words. Thank you very much. Very kind. God bless you.
Fantastic. So stagger out. Yeah. It was lovely. Miriam coordinated this great event, but there was a great generosity flowing out to Paul and Barbara, and it's great to have an opportunity to really appreciate all that they do. I know we see them out, those minibuses, I mean those vans, come rain, come snow, and all the other things they do. We really do appreciate them. And yeah, fantastic. So, it's time for the children to go out. I think you know where you're going. If you don't, look for the lady in the green coat. She'll tell you where to go.